السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and brothers, sisters who are listening, continuing with our discussion with regards to the abstention of sins in this Mubarak and auspicious month of Ramadan, the real purpose and objective for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this Mubarak month of Ramadan was to develop the quality of taqwa, to develop the ability to control ourselves and restrain ourselves from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month of Ramadan is an ideal opportunity for us to develop this quality and for us to get ourselves forgiven. In the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that incident where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the three steps of the mimbar, and on each step he said Ameen. This hadith, we have heard it. And on each step he said Ameen. Sahaba Kiram inquired. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi salam made three duas and I made Ameen. I said Ameen on those three duas. One particular dua which is relevant to us in this month of Ramadan is that بَعُدَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ, that may that person be destroyed and wretched is that individual who finds the Mubarak month of Ramadan, he is alive in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, but yet he still does not get himself forgiven. So this is the thing, respected elders and brothers, that we need to be extremely cautious that we do not become recipients of this curse of Jibreel alayhi salam, upon which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. And how will this happen? Is that the person is negligent in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. He continues with the normal sins. He doesn't want to give up the sins that he was committing prior to the month of Ramadan. Then this could be tantamount to negligence. And the person who is heedless and negligent in the month of Ramadan, then it must not happen that he, you know, this dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this bad-dua, or this curse befalls him. May Allah ta'ala protect us and our children and family members and the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, we mentioned yesterday, more of the internal sins that one must try and give up. And although only four are being discussed in these morning programs, and this is actually from the teachings of our elders, the thing is that we had mentioned at the outset that these are such four actions that if we implement it, then it will become much, much more easier for us to give up the other sins. Because generally this particular sin is extremely challenging. And yesterday we spoke about the aspect of casting lustful glances. Such an important aspect. And there is so much of benefit in us lowering our gaze, that hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is actually a hadith qudsi, wal hadith alladhi yubayyinuhu an-nabiyyu bi lafzihi wa yunsibuhu ila rabbih. It is that hadith which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he expounds it and explains it in his own words, but he attributes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In English, we'll refer to it as indirect speech. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that Allah Ta'ala says, "An-nazru sahmun min sihami iblis masmumun," that this lustful glance is a poisonous arrow from shaitan. It's an arrow which is poisonous. "Man tarakahu makhafati abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi whomsoever will give up this sin out of my fear, out of my khawf, then I will replace for him, in lieu of this pain that he has gone through, I will give him such iman that he will actually perceive the sweetness of that iman in his heart. So some people said that, you know, if we are going to lower our gaze, then we are going to cause pain to our hearts. It's going to cause pain to our hearts. Now everybody is looking, you're going to suffer from psychological problems when everybody is engaging in certain thing and you are depriving yourself. So you're going to start suffering from psychological disorders, and you suffer from complexes and so on. So Hazrat Wala explained it so beautifully. He said that, see, one is that the person, he doesn't look. So yes, there has to be a pain. There will definitely be a pain. When everybody else is gazing, and everybody else is ogling, and everybody else is enjoying, and this person is not enjoying, or he is lowering and restraining himself, so there's definitely some sacrifice that he has to make. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. In this dunya, we have to make sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That goes without saying. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah ta'ala says, what do the people feel? That they can say that we bring iman and they will not be tested, there won't be any sacrifice. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah ta'ala says, we tested the people before too. We have to be tested. This dunya is a place of being tested. But nevertheless, the person, even if we accept that argument, that if the person lowers his gaze, there is some pain on the heart. Hazrat Wala explains it so beautifully. He said, one is the pain of known beauty, and one is the pain of unknown beauty. So let us understand it by means of an example. Let's say a youngster, his father says, listen, if you do well in your examinations, then I will give you a gift. Now the father doesn't specify what that gift is going to be. He just says, I'm going to give you a gift. Now for some reason or the other, the son doesn't work hard, and as a result he doesn't achieve the required results. For which he was supposed to be have been given the gift. So the father says, well, look, you didn't earn the results, therefore I can't give you a gift. So the son will feel a little bit disappointed, he'll feel a little bit saddened, but he'll be able to get over it. And on the other hand, we have another situation, scenario, where the father says, well, you see this car here, you see this brand new car, if you get your results, I will give you this car. Now the son has seen the gift. He has seen the prize. Now he doesn't get his results. He doesn't achieve and doesn't get the car at the end of it all. Now those two youngsters, which youngster will go through more pain? Which youngster will go through? The one who saw the vehicle. In the same way, those people who are, Allah Ta'ala is giving them tawfiq to lower their gazes. So immediately, when they sense that there is some woman that is walking by, they immediately lowering the gaze. They didn't see anything. And even if they did, even if it was just a quick glance, they quickly averted it. They didn't allow anything to get into their mind and heart. So that's it. Finish, gone. There is some pain, they'll get over it. And on the other hand, you have those individuals who sit and stare and stare and stare. As long as they're staring, 99% of the time, those women that they stay at, they can't even get them. Because that woman is probably married to somebody else. Or that woman is somebody else's daughter, and that her father won't even allow you to come close by. So that's the most you can do. Just carry on staring. Now the desire will increase and intensify in the heart. And now there will be the desire to get that woman. But now you can't get her. Now the pain that you're going to experience on your heart is going to be much more intense than the pain of that person who lowered his gaze and took that pain. Because now this is the pain of a known beauty. And that was the pain of an unknown beauty. So even if we have to accept that argument, it is much more sensible to lower your gazes and thereby putting yourself and your body through less taklif. Last year we had discussed 14 harms of casting lustful glances. And one of the harms was this particular aspect, that it actually causes heart problems. But the person every time is staring at this woman. Now he's desiring her. Now he can't get her. Then he starts staring at another woman. Now he desires her too. The person who gets caught up in sin and any sin, and you must remember that there is no such thing as a point of satiation. Guna and sins, you are trying to get, you know, tranquility and serenity and fulfillment in sins, it will never happen. It is like the example which we have heard of the person who stands and goes to the waters of the ocean, the salty waters of the ocean, and he tries to quench his thirst. So he drinks one glass, second glass. Because of the salt content, his thirst is not really going to be quenched. What he needs is even a half a glass of clean, fresh, pure water. In the same way, the person who's trying to find satisfaction and sukoon and tranquility and serenity and fulfillment in sins and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will never happen. It will never happen. So that is why it is said that that person who saw every single beautiful woman in this world, and now you come to him and you say, brother, you know what? Ek aur hai. There's another one. There's another woman who's very beautiful. He say, yeah, bring her also, let me see. Bring her also, I also want to see her. So that kind of person, he is never satisfied. He looks at this woman, looks at that one. And then eventually what happens, his own wife too, now he doesn't find any, you know, anything nice in her. Because he's gazing at everybody else besides his own wife. May Allah protect us from this. What is this? Then it has become in society. I said one person, he went to a woman, and so he claimed to love her very much. So to test him, so she said, well, if you feel I'm so beautiful, you should see my sister. She's even more beautiful than me. There she behind me. So he immediately turned around. So when he turned around, she gave him one tight slap. She said, well, you claim just now, you claim that you loved me so much and that my beauty was so intense. But now what happened all of a sudden? As soon as you heard that there was another beauty, you went the other side. This makes a person mad, absolutely mad. We heard this example of Hazrat Wala. An incident that took place, that one person was on the bus, and while seated on the bus, more towards the front, this was in India, and there was a woman that was seated there. Now from the back, he couldn't really see her, but now that desire came in his heart, he wants to see her. He wants to admire her. So now what happened was, he saw this woman walking, and she was going towards the bus, so he decided to follow her. So when he went on the bus, he realized that this bus was going to Hyderabad, and from the place where he was approximately 2 hours. Now, he's in the bus too, he's trying somehow or the other to go and see her, but he just can't. Anyway, he underwent that 2 hour journey. He only had enough money to go for that 2 hour journey. But anyway, the desire was so intense, so he went. By the time they reached the station, when they disembarked, now he started following her and coming closer and closer. Now he thought to himself, you know, I need to now strike a conversation. How can I do it? So in those days, they used to sell the sugar cane, small pieces, cut broken pieces of sugar cane. So he quickly bought one with the little change that he had. And now he started getting closer, closer. So he came close to her and then he started speaking to her. He says, yes, I've got some sugar cane for you. Would you like some sugar cane? So suddenly she turned around and so she responded that, oh my son, I'm an 80-year-old lady. I don't have any teeth in my mouth. How am I going to have this sugar cane? Bishara, this person, all his desire, all disappeared, went all down the drain. Finish. All went. This is what happens. The person now runs and runs after that, and in the process, subhanAllah, everything is gone. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from these things. So this particular sin of casting lustful glances, especially in the month of Ramadan, we have to make a concerted and intentional effort from the morning when we leave our home, that I'm not going to look. No matter what, my intention is not to look. Not that if accidentally, if my gaze falls, then I'll avert it. So I am going to look. But as soon as I look, then I'm going to turn away. So then you already got the intention of looking in the first place. We should have the intention that we are not going to look. And then accidentally, if the gaze falls, then we avert the gaze. So another question that arises, but more now with the workplace where we're working, the women are coming in, buying this, that, and other. So it is quite simple. It's like how a person, when he drives his vehicle on the national highway. So now when you're driving on the national highway, as you are sticking on your lane, you have to be mindful of the vehicles on the right and the left. If a person is traveling on the 3-lane highway, as he's passing by, sometimes he's traveling in such a place where he's got the barrier on the right-hand side and the left-hand side there's a huge truck. Now he doesn't stare at the truck and start looking at the truck and start looking at the truck and start looking at the tires and how, what's the quality and how deep is the thread of the tires. You see, just now the thread of the tire is not good. He doesn't even look properly at the tires, but he knows there's tires there. And on the other hand, he doesn't look at the barrier to see what color concrete or what kind of barrier they've placed on this side or what's on the other side of the barrier. He knows that there's a barrier there, but he's not really focusing on it. His focus is on the road, but he's aware of what's happening on the right and the left hand side. In the same way in our workplace, sometimes these women are coming, the person is for example, is a cashier. So he can be aware that there is a woman, he doesn't have to sit and stare at her. So there's a world of difference between the two. So we can go and you know, sometimes we think Allah Ta'ala has given us commands which are beyond our capability. Now if we have to accept that, then what it actually means and what we're actually saying is, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, Allah Ta'ala is an oppressive being. That Allah Ta'ala has asked us to do something that's beyond our capacity. If a father tells his 5-year-old son that he has a 50 kg bag of cement, you must carry it. Definitely. So we'll all say that father is being a zalim. How can he allow the 5-year-old child to carry a 50 kg bag? The child doesn't have the capability. So if we say that this command of lowering the gaze is not possible, it's not within our capacity, then what we are actually saying is that, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, Allah has given a command which is beyond our capacity. And then it means that Allah Ta'ala is a zalim and Allah Ta'ala is an oppressor. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Allah says, your Rabb has not even in the least way oppressed the banda and the servant. Whatever command and whatever injunction can be found and is found in the Quran and Hadith, it is well within our capacity. It is just that we have to make the himmat and take the courage to give up these sins. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ